listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace in this season of Lent. Amen. My dear friend Sarah's father was a pastor in the Lutheran Church for many years, and Mark had a saying. He'd often say this: "It's still early." He'd always say that. When his congregation would become anxious that nobody was coming and that their church was slowly dying, Mark would always calm them down by saying, "It's still early. Just be patient, stay faithful, continue extending a welcome. It's still early." When it didn't seem there was any hope in the midst of his people's individual lives, somehow he would bring comfort to them with this remembrance of God's timing, which Isaiah talks about in our text in the Old Testament today. God's timing is not always our timing. God's ways are not always our ways. It's still early, Mark would say to his people. It was profound. It wasn't flippant. It's still early. And even as this beloved pastor lay on his deathbed, it was in my first year of seminary, his body filled with a cancer that was unstoppable, he still said it. Even as everyone was fearing and grieving the inevitable, he said it as he took his last breaths: "It's still early." "It's still early" is not a dreamy, unmoored statement, wishing listlessly for a miracle. It is a solid confession of faith. Even with evidence to the contrary, it is a statement of trust in our patient God's work, a statement of hope. And I share his three words, "It's still early," today as we read our gospel text, where we hear that a tree bears no fruit. We need to cut it down, right? "No," says the gracious and patient gardener. "Give it another year. We'll add some fertilizer, let it breathe, give it some love, give it another year." Almost as if to say, "It's still early." The grace of extended deadlines is what we have before us today. I've been thinking a lot this Lenten season about grace. Not really a traditional Lenten concept, grace. I mean, we think about a lot of things during Lent, prayer and fasting and giving of alms, but grace? Maybe that's not something you grew up with in Lent. But I believe it's been there all along as we give up things during Lent, as we let go of things, as we're invited to turn back to God and to our neighbors and to the earth, as we gather together here on Wednesday nights. Grace has been there all along. I'm afraid that we only hear the threat of Jesus' story about that tree that doesn't bear fruit. "Cut it down!" Yeah. Jesus is looking for us to bear fruit. That's true. Jesus needs us to bear fruit. That's true. And hear that final sentence: "Give it another year, and if it doesn't bear fruit, then cut it down." Afraid we hear only the threat, though. The threat of death. The threat that we're going to die. But that's really nothing we didn't know already. We know this. And when we don't bear fruit, that is, the works of the Spirit, that is, kindness and justice and generosity, risk-taking for the sake of Christ Jesus, when we fail to bear these fruits, there is this part of us that dies anyway, isn't there? As I've shared before, as my dad likes to say about stewardship, not giving, it's a sort of spiritual constipation. God's people get all backed up when we keep our things and our money and everything held so tightly, with white knuckles, like it was all ours in the first place. Rather, we are gracefully encouraged. Let's be a vessel through which God's blessing might flow financially, through our gifts, and in all kinds of ways. There's a little death happening anyway. When we're all stopped up, when there is a blockage, there's a certain death when we fail to bear and share fruit, that is kindness and hope and joy. Did you catch this first part of the gospel that we read? Jesus rebuking those who wanted to say that the victims of Pilate's tortuous oppression somehow deserved what they got. Or Jesus gives another example, the random falling of a tower, killing 18. Some were assuming it was because they had done something wrong, something to deserve it. And I'm afraid that's not so far out of step with how many people think about bad things that happen. I remember when the AIDS crisis hit, especially in the 80s, there were some who said, well, God's punishing some people. Somehow they deserve that. Or I remember painfully a member of my family when that tsunami hit Indonesia many years ago. Not that many years ago, I guess, but about a decade ago. Do you remember that tsunami that just wiped out everything? I had members in my own family fervently praying and thinking, God, they must have done something to have that tsunami come their way. I mean, really thought that they had done something. No, Jesus says. No. Some things just happen. Some things just happen. But then he adds something else. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. Once again, that can sound like a terrible threat. But I'm wondering if Jesus didn't mean that a certain death happens to anyone who doesn't turn back to God, which is what repent really means, to do a 180 back to God. When we don't repent, yes, a certain death does happen. We perish in a certain way when we don't repent. When we don't turn back to God, a certain death happens that can be as crushing and as torturous as the images in our gospel text today. When we don't repent, friends in Christ, entrusting ourselves fully to God, think of opening our hands, then we have to live in the shadow of not knowing grace and forgiveness. And that's horrible. We have to carry the burden of anger or hatred. We have to shoulder all the resentments for the wrongs that have been done to us, for the wrongs that we have done to others in the past. When we don't repent, when we don't return to God, thereby letting everything go, entrusting it all to God, all the anger, all the pent-up grievances, all the frustrations with those who have wronged us in our eyes, and in clutching on and being stubborn and going it alone in our need for vengeance, our need to defeat the other, remember last week? In our being lost, in our fears and our angers and our things, we get backed up and a certain death definitely occurs. A weight almost as heavy as the fallen towers of Siloam presses down on us, on our lives. We can't move. Are you aware that pretty much every person sitting in this sanctuary is hurting right now? Have you thought about that? For one reason or another, everyone here is carrying something, is hurting, is grieving, is angry, is frustrated. Every single person here is hurting in some way or another. Maybe some of us would never show that to you. And maybe others of us are happy to wear it on our sleeve. But friends, we ought to be gentle to each other here at Bethlehem. Know that the person sitting right next to you is probably feeling some weight pressing down on them. Whether it's anger or sadness or fear or grief or distrust of God or just plain old bitterness, everyone is hurting, crushed, and pained. Why? Because God is punishing us? No, Jesus says. No. Some things just happen. Some things just happen. But friends, let's not miss this opportunity to turn back to God, to put our pain in God's hands, letting God's love and grace wash over us and through us, clearing us out to be faithful travelers on the road together, as the children sang this morning. Let's walk together. Be gentle and be present to one another. Bear one another's burdens. Hear one another's stories. It's not too late. It's still early. God's not done with us yet. God needs us. Think of a member at the last congregation literally lying on his deathbed as we got to speak for the last time. He said those same words to me, I'll never forget. He was all shriveled and frail, and he said, God's not done with me yet. God's not done with you yet either. No matter your age or your history or your burdens and blockages, even death itself, God's not done with us yet. It's still early, friends. And God is faithful. And we are loved. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.